This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of...
Back in the year 1898, in Italy, the city of Turin was celebrating the 400th anniversary of the inauguration of its major church, the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist. Now, as part of the celebrations, Secundo Pia, an amateur in the relatively new field of photography, was commissioned to photograph a famous local relic stored in one of the chapels of the cathedral. The relic was a shroud and supposedly used to wrap the dead body of Jesus Christ. As Secundo Pia processed the glass plate to get the first negative image, from which a positive photo would later be made, he was astonished to see a positive, human-like image on the glass. To him, at that moment, the only possible interpretation was that he was looking at the face of Christ. And that's how the current hype about the Shroud of Turin began. According to the New Testament of the Christian Bible, Jesus Christ lived, performed miracles, was crucified and died, and 3 days later arose from the dead. The Gospel of John describes how the Apostle Peter went into the tomb not knowing that Christ had already arisen to heaven. All that he found was the linen clothes or shroud used to wrap the body of Christ. That's where the Shroud of Turin apparently began its days. The actual Shroud of Turin is a long, skinny, rectangular cloth, some 4 and a bit metres long by about 1 metre wide. If you look carefully, you can just see 2 faded, head-to-head, yellow-brown images. They show the entire front and back of a naked man with his hands covering his groin. There are also flogging injuries on the man's back and a wound through his left wrist. The images are consistent with a man being laid on a long cloth with his feet at one end and his head in the middle, and then the other half of the cloth being folded back over him. I'll leave till later the minor mechanical details of how the imprint of the man could make its way onto the cloth. But first, a little history about the shroud. The famous Shroud of Turin seems to have been hidden away for well over a millennium since St. Peter found it. It was first reported around 1354 as belonging to the knight Geoffrey de Charny, the seigneur or lord of Liray, located in France. Now, back in those days, there was a good living to be made from charging the faithful to view biblical relics. Within a few years, by 1357, the shroud had become a nice little earner, with many pilgrims coming from far and wide to see the one and only, the true and the original burial shroud of Christ. But a local bishop was sceptical about the shroud and had an investigation into its validity. He found that it was a fake, and so it was quietly taken off the biblical relics circuit. Some 3 decades later, after all the fuss had died down, it was back on its first comeback tour on the biblical relic circuit in 1389, again lightening the purses of the faithful. This time, it was Bishop Pierre de Arques, the local bishop of Troyes, who denounced it as a fraud because he had found that, and I quote, "After diligent inquiry and examination, the shroud was cunningly painted, the truth being attested by the artist who had painted it." Unquote. In other words, he had tracked down the very artist who had manufactured this relic. And this opinion that it was not the true burial shroud of Christ was backed up by the Avignon Pope Clement VII. According to the authoritative Catholic Encyclopedia, Clement VII declared in the papal bull that it could be exhibited as an object of pilgrimage and devotion, but only if it were made perfectly clear that this shroud was just a representation of the original shroud used to wrap Christ. And quoting from the Catholic Encyclopedia, and I quote, "The Pope without absolutely prohibiting the exhibition of the shroud, decided that, in the future, when it was shown to the people, the priest should declare in a loud voice that it was not the real shroud of Christ, but only a picture made to represent it, unquote. But some people thought there was still some life left in the shroud as a holy relic. Just over half a century later, Margaret, the granddaughter of Geoffrey de Chargny, generously gave this very same shroud to the Duke of Savoy. He too was generous and gave her two castles. The shroud stayed in the House of Savoy and ended up in the Duke's new capital of Turin in 1578. It finally wound up in a specially designed shrine in the Royal Chapel of Turin Cathedral in 1694, and hence the name Shroud of Turin. So now you have some of the history of the Shroud of Turin. Next time I'll talk more about its authenticity, and it's a tale where seeing is believing if you believe what you're seeing.
What does it mean? Why is it so?